accession number 20293, Reel 1.
Ernie Guzzi, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
West Ham, East London.
Which year was this?
1923.
You were telling me that your surname is not an English one.
No.
Can you tell me about that, please?
Well, way back, my people came from the Huguenot society, and they came over to England and started work in the London area around Shoreditch as weavers. Because the time I was born, I didn't know much about it at the time.
What did your father do for a living?
My father worked for the corporation, the West Ham Corporation.
Did you go to school in West Ham?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I went to two schools, Napier Road and Manor Road.
And how old were you when you left school?
14.
In 37?
Probably 37, yeah. I don't go back that far.
Did you get a job?
Yes. I started working the, what we call the leather cloth. It used to make calico. And I was a bobbin boy, going round collecting bobbins when they're full up with cotton, etc., from the mill. And I stayed there quite a while. And then I packed that up, and then I worked for Tillett's Laundry all along the Mile End Road in London, Bow, all around that area. And then I packed that up. And I'd done various little jobs till I was 19, when I was called up for the army.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes.
Under what circumstances?
Well, I happened to be in London during that time, and I heard that on the wireless. But my people at the time had already been hop picking. My family used to go hop picking in Kent. And we used to go down there, obviously, and when we returned, Neville Chamberlain came out with that speech in September, September the 3rd, and we devised some sort of a plan because I was actually a twin, but he died. However, the people living in my house in West Ham, they lived downstairs and we lived upstairs. So I had to keep my eye on them because they had young children, etc., etc. Anyway, while we were down hop picking, we managed to see the Battle of Britain in the sky during the hop picking season and see the German aircraft come over and being shot down whenever. And we wondered what it was at first, but we found out after. And it was quite an experience.
Can you give any details about what you saw of the Battle of Britain, please?
Only the planes, Einkel, Messerschmitt 109, our own Spitfires, and Hurricanes.
Whereabouts in Kent were you hopping?
Paddock Wood.
Did you visit any sites of shot down planes?
No, we never had time for that. We used to go out hop picking about 7 o'clock in the morning and return about 6 in the evening.
What kind of a life was it, hop picking in 1940?
You adapted to it because you slept on straw mattresses, and when you came home, you used to have twigs that was, they called them faggots in the country. And we used to burn them to cook our meals. And in the evening, we'd all sit round the fire and have a sing-song or whatever. Sometimes we went into Tunbridge Wells by bus and spent the weekend, well, one day there anyway. because there was a bus service from our site right into Tunbridge Wells.
Was it pleasant?
Was it?
Pleasant?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I enjoyed it. And as I say, it was an experience to us at the time because we'd never seen nothing like it before.
Were you worried about German invasion?
Well, no, not really at that time because I was, 17, 18 year old at the time when I was down there. And then when 1942, I became 19 and then I went into the services.
How did you feel about being called up?
Well, I had two minds because at that time, you could either go down the mines as a Bevan boy, or in the army, in the navy, or the air force. But I was picked to go into the army.
What would you have preferred?
The army.
What was the first step?
Well, meeting other people at the station, which we had to travel up to Yorkshire, which I'd never heard of, being at that age, and we all travelled up to number 5 ITC, which is Infantry Training Centre at Richmond in Yorkshire. Naturally, when we got there, we handed our papers over, we got sorted out, billeted into huts, and the following day, we started weapon training, etc. Learning about weapons, different kind of weapons, how to strip them down, how to put them back in a certain time. And we carried on from there. We'd done a few manoeuvres, route marches. Then we had gas drill, MT. We went out on the MT learning to drive, etc. And in that 6 weeks, we were passed out as qualified infantrymen.
How were you treated on this basic training?
Fairly, well, at the time, a couple of the instructors I thought was very strict. But bearing in mind, they had to be strict to drum it into you. Because the knowledge that they put out to us really come to light in battle, because you thought of what he said or what they said to you, and you thought of that all the time. And I've got to thank the instructors because they drilled it so much into you that you don't forget.
Were you able to do what they wanted you to do?
Within reason, yes, yes. Carried out various tasks, yeah.
And after the basic training? After the basic training?
After the basic training, we were posted out to a battalion. The 7th Battalion I was posted to in A Company.
7th East Yorkshire?
7th East Yorkshire. At the time, the battalion was on Bodmin Moor on manoeuvres. So we had to wait till they returned before we were accepted as part of A Company.
So you joined them at Richmond?
No. Joined them in Loo in Cornwall. That's where they based.
What impression did this battalion make on you?
Well, it was strange being in a battalion with other lads that you didn't know, but you soon got to know them. And because while they were away on Bodmin Moor doing manoeuvres, we were doing fatigues in Loo where they were stationed. And I learned later that the battalion was on protection for U-boats or anything like that along the coast. I forget what they call it now, combined services, something like that.
Did you have any experiences or incidents with this battalion?
No, not, no. We've done various, as I say, we've done various route marches when they all come back to the battalion headquarters. And we went out here and there, doing manoeuvres, training, and then after a while we moved to different areas. So we got used to the high hills, which we didn't come across in London, obvious. Training again, basic training. They put it down as basic training. And we carried on from there.
What happened next?
Well, eventually, we moved down into the Croydon area from there. And we were based in Croydon, looking after London bombing areas. And we'd go out and help the civilians if they got bombed out or anything like that. Well, while I was there, in London, situated, I was asked to go on to an armourer's course at Golders Green with the Remy. So I went down there, I spent a fortnight there, and learned quite a bit about weapons, etc., etc. When I returned, within a month, I went back again, finished off the course, passed out as battalion armourer. That is, checking all weapons that the battalion had, sights on the rifles. We used to go out on rifle ranges and test the weapons out, 2-inch mortars, 3-inch mortars, Bren gun, various weapons that we carried. The only thing I found was the old Sten gun. That was rubbish, because the spring in them, about as round as them glasses, was so weak, it never returned at the right time. So they dumped that and brought another model out, and we carried on from there.
What did this help to civilians in Croydon involve?
Well, the doodle bugs were coming over at the time, and various places in your area sometimes got bombed. So we had to go and see what we could do to help the civilians.
Is there much you could do for them?
Not a lot, just clearing a bit of rubble away. But while we were there, we was told to dig a trench in the back garden of the billet, and we had to sleep in there overnight because of the doodle bugs coming over and dropping short, etc.
Was morale much affected by the V1s?
Well, we wondered what it was, obviously, because we'd never heard them or seen them before. And then, of course, they brought the V2 over, which was a bit more explicit. And we just carried on. And we done our training, various places. We walked from Croydon to East Grinstead on the route march. We done it in a particular time. And they were quite pleased. The higher-ups were quite pleased that we done it in that time. We still carried out manoeuvres. At the time, we didn't know anything about D-Day, but we were training for that at Croydon. And eventually, we went over to France in July 1944 as a battalion, the 7th Battalion.
What was the crossing like?
It was rough, very rough. Again, all these things are our experience, or was experience to us. So when we eventually got near the coast in France, the rope ladder was lowered down and we had to climb down. And you can imagine, with all your full kit on, rifle slung round your neck or round your shoulders, trying to get down this rope ladder. Eventually we got into the boat and went ashore. We landed at Ouistreham, and within half an hour, we had a couple of casualties.
From what?
From enemy firing, mortars, mostly mortars anyway, because we weren't too near the Germans at the time, not in Houston.
Were you still with A Company?
I was still with A Company, and I remained with A Company till August, early August. I got made up as Lance Corporal Winterfield in August, while with the 7th Battalion. And then eventually, Montgomery, he decided to disband the 7th Battalion, and A Company, which I was in, was transferred to the 2nd Battalion as B Company. The remainder of the battalion of the 7th was reinforced the 3rd British Infantry Division. That is various regiments in that division. And eventually we saw them, some of them, now and again, doing the battles.
Well, let's go back to your arrival in Normandy at Wistrom. What happened to you on the first day?
Well, we got mortared, which was a surprise to us because we'd never been under battle, And when the shells come over, or the mortars, we had a couple of casualties. From there we moved on, and as I say, Montgomery decided to disband the 7th Battalion, and we formed up in B Company in the 2nd Battalion.
Did you do much fighting with 7th Battalion in Normandy?
We done no fighting as a 7th Battalion.
Did you have much contact with Norman civilians?
No. The 7th Battalion, the purpose was to go over to look after the pipeline under the ocean, Pluto. That was our job at the time. But as things got worse with the 2nd Battalion on the landing, because they were one of the assault battalions with the Suffolk Regiment, on landing first on the French coast, they lost so many men that they had to be reinforced. So Monty broke us up.
When you say looking after Pluto, you mean in case of sabotage?
Yeah, anything like that, yeah. We had to do guards, checking the line, make sure everything was all right.
Did you come across problems when you were...
No, it's quite easy. Quite easily little job, if you know what I mean. We weren't affected by civilians or anybody. We just had to keep our eyes open, do guard duty, which is obvious. Just keeping our eyes open. But we happened to be in the area when Jerry mortared, and as I say, we lost a few casualties.
Can you tell me about joining 2nd Battalion, please?
Yes. Our battalion, our company, A Company, reinforced the 2nd Battalion at Trône in France. Now, that was our first battle scene. It was a high point where the Germans were concerned, because I don't know exactly what was there for the Germans, but there was a brick wall there, a brickworks, and what was in that, I don't know. But we was mortared left and right. And Jerry had sent over the Nebelwerfers, which we called the Moaning Minis. They're a six-barreled mortar, sort of. But instead of all coming at once, they come in various sections. Top, bottom, side, left, right, if you know what I mean. They didn't all come out at once. They come out at different times. And they was the worst because they had such a scream. You could hear them coming, and you didn't know where they were going, because when they were fired, they didn't all go to one place. They sort of spread out and sprayed. That was our first battle, or my first battle anyway.
How frightening was that?
It was frightening, because we'd never heard that noise before. It was more or less a screeching noise, and as I say, you didn't know where they were going to land.
How Had you been warned about them? Had you been warned about them?
No, no. They just come over and, you know, we accepted what they were. We were told what they were after the Moaning Minis, or the Nebelwerf, as the Germans called them. But we nicknamed them the Moaning Minis because they moaned like hell as they come over. But they sprayed. They didn't all go in one area. They went in different areas as they come down. Sort of the mortar bombs.
Did you suffer casualties from that?
We had a few casualties from that, yeah.
What were you trying to do? What was your unit trying to do when the...
To hold throne from the Germans. Because, as I say, it must have been a vital point, but at that time we didn't know, because we were new to the battle, and even though we were told to hold it at all events, we held it as much as possible. We did hold it in the end, but we carried on from there.
And then what?
Well, after we left Troon, we went through Veer, captured Veer, but the only trouble in them areas, it was a bocage country. Little fields, high hedgerows, and you had a job to try and get through. You did the best to get through to the next village or whatever, which was Veer. And then from there, we carried on to Tichbray. And then we eventually, after them battles in them places, we went to Fleurs, where we had 4 days rest, changing your underclothes, having a shower, re-equipped, ready for the next battle, which was the Escaut Canal, which was on the edge of Belgium. I lost my platoon corporal there. Well, I didn't lose him. He got wounded by a phosphorus bomb. And
how exactly did that happen?
Well, the Germans wanted to hold the Escaut Canal because that was a major area for them again. And what they'd done was they put young boys in, 16 or 18, and they were told to die for the Führer if they had to, because they wanted that bit of ground. Why, I don't know. You know, as a soldier, you just carry on and carry on. You don't ask why. You might find out later on, but they don't give you the exact details. However, my corporal, a phosphorus bomb was thrown at him, which caught his right hand. He lost a couple of fingers, and he got burnt on the groin. So eventually he went to the RAP, which is our regimental aid post, and they sent him to hospital, and they carried on from there. Eventually he was discharged because he couldn't use his rifle hand.
Did you see the German who threw it?
No. When you're in battle, you see where the aim of fire is coming from. The blast of the explosion from the rifle or whatever. And you try and aim on that, depending what weapon you've got at the time. I mean, we carried a rifle at the time. We had Bren guns. Now and again, you picked up a Bren gun and you used that if you had a good idea where the enemy was. And then there was a 2-inch mortar we used and a 3-inch mortar at times. But again, wherever you went in battle, you had to dig a hole, a slit trench, so you can drop in away from any blast or anything like that. Because the 88s from the Tiger tanks, they were treacherous. Once they got to know where you were, over their lob. So we either duck down or move from that area away. But I must confide, Jerry was a good soldier. He had the proper equipment, he had good equipment, better than ours, to be honest. But there again, during the battles, it was either you or him. So you just carried on the best you could. There was a few scrapes here and there, not initially close at that time. In some of the battles, we had hand-to-hand fighting, going into cottages and houses, searching for Jerry's, and it became hand-to-hand fighting sometimes. Yeah, but that's well down the list, that is. Anyway, we left Fleurs, we left the Escort Canal, and we arrived up to the Reichswald Forest. Now, the Reichswald is in Germany. Clive, it's known as Clive, but they pronounced it, or they knew it as the Reichswald Forest. It's a big forest, and the division had an attack on there 51st Island Division. Various divisions were involved in battle in the Reichswald Forest, and we had a few casualties from there.
Have you got any specific memories about the fighting in the Reichswald Forest?
Well, we just aimed where we thought the fire was coming from. And 9 times out of 10, it was mostly rifle fire or Bren gun fire. It depended what was coming at you at the time. And then after Reichswald, we went back into Enschede for a couple of days rest, and within that couple of days we were out again, because there was a place called Overloon in Holland which the Yanks were supposed to capture, the American army. They'd been there a week or more and they couldn't battle to get Overloon. So they brought our division in to capture Overloon. And then that was well bombed and there was no buildings left. Complete, what's name? But the weather had turned so bad that it was all mud. So the vehicles and tanks couldn't get through at all. So we had to lay low during the rain. 24 hours, I think it was, before we could do battle to capture Overloon. We eventually captured Overloon, and then we went up to Venray.
What are your personal memories of the capture of Overloon?
There again, where the buildings had been severed by bomb damage and that, we dug holes, slit trenches, and we barricaded the top with doors off the buildings for our own protection as much as we could. But there again, with Overloon, there was so much rifle fire and Bren gun firing to capture it. But as I say, Jerry had bombed that so much that there's hardly a building was standing. In fact, it's been rebuilt, that place, Overloon. Anyway, we captured that, and as I say, we went up through to Venray, and Venray was similar. It was a big area, Venray, and there was a lunatic asylum there, and our second in command, who was known to us as Banger King, he was a major, he got the people out as much as he could out of the asylum and carted them off out the way of the danger, because that building had been bombed so many times that he got no water or anything like that, and he laid on transport to get the people away into another area, what we call a back area, out the way of the firing.
Did you see the people from the asylum
yourself? Yeah. Man, we felt sorry for them. I mean, we were only, 20, 21 year old at the time. And because, again, that was all new to us. We'd never seen people from asylums before. But Major King, he done a good job. He cleared the area, cleared them out. And we done patrols in Venray, which was heavily bombed by the Germans again, because that was a vulnerable...